we're continuing on, and you know, there's a lot of little nuances when coming to the world system. And so last week I had to cut short some things, and I want to go back and pick up an important word that will, I think, help when we get down to the creation of the world system. It'll help you to see some things about it, why it was established and how it was established, and some of the standards that the world system has. And so when we're speaking of the world system, we're speaking about one of our spiritual enemies. And, you know, the devil is the originator of it. He's the ruler of it. And we've looked at a number of things the past few weeks that demonstrates that, you know, Satan, he peddles the idea that there's something better for individuals independent of God. And so when you think about that, he believed that in regards to himself. He absolutely did. He also, we know from Scripture, that he thoroughly deceived Eve. And that same notion was a part of that deception, that there was something better independent from God. And he continues to peddle this idea through his world system. And so when we turn to 1 John 2:16, and, you know, a number of these places we're going to go today, I intend to come back through in the future. But in 2:16, 1 John 2:16, it's informative because it says, for all that is in the world system. And we have the mention of the lust of the flesh, the strong desires of the flesh. The world system provides structure in directing the flesh and emphasizes certain works of the flesh. It's built into it. The lust of the eyes. The world system is very adept at stealing and keeping your attention. And it says, and the pride concerning life. And it's physical life there. The pride of, and I've mentioned the idea of a swagger. So I would like to almost translate it coming through here, just because I got a kick out of seeing that in Thayer's definition, is it's the empty swagger. I have to put empty swagger on there because the way swagger is used today in the world system, it's considered a positive. If you hear athletes talk about swagger, the word doesn't really have a positive connotation. So, but it's an empty swagger concerning physical life. The world system emphasizes physical life and the here and the now. How to prosper now. And so these are important things to keep in mind when we come to the world system. And so we're going to look at a particular word in the New Testament today, but before we do, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for the practicality of it, the instruction of it, and the thoughts that we relate to as we relate to it. And we just pray your spirit would continue to guide and teach and encourage. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So we talked about these things in 1 John 2:16 that are in the world. And he says they're not out from the Father as the source, but they're out from the world system as the source. Isn't that interesting? So the world system is producing things, and we know who the originator and the ruler of it is. Remember, he's crafty. He's clever. He's going to use that in his weaving of the world system. And so one of the things we see about the world system is it has its own standards of how to step, how to step. And I'm going to say how to step in line. And so that gives you a hint of a word we're going to consider today. It's stoikaion. Stoikaion. It's the word that's translated elementary principles 7 times in the New Testament. And so I want to just comment on this word. It's an interesting word. Sounds like a word you may have heard that I would translate step from the verb stoikeo, because they share a common root. The word stoikos means a row or series. And so this has this root, and the idea of this particular noun, it just literally means an upright post. And so it's going to be hard to understand, well, how do we get to elementary principles from the literal meaning of an upright post? But it literally means an upright post or the first beginning in a series. The first beginning in a series. And so then so you get a little bit of an idea how we're going to end up with elementary principles there. I'm going to quote from Thayer again in his lexicon. I tend to like a lot of his definitions. Thayer says this of our word. He says, any first thing from which the others belonging to some series or composite whole. They take their rise, an element of first principle. So let me read that again. Just any first thing from which the others belonging to some series or composite whole take their rise, an element, first principle. So that's Thayer's definition, and I like that definition because it has an idea. I don't know, for me it draws to mind. One summer I worked for a surveying company, and I didn't have a technical job. I was the stick man. And we were in charge of surveying some river bottoms in Montana. So not the greatest job for the stick man, because the surveyor sets up his device and he gets to look at things from a distance, where the stick man, he gets to walk through, and they wanted to get the depth of certain rivers and things like that. So I had to cross rivers and hold the stick so he could get his readings, right? But typically when we went about doing that, we had to find a pin that had been established as the first pin from which to base our measurements off of. And so when we're looking at the stoikeion of the world system, it's like a row or a series that's based off of some elementary principles. Now this word, it can be used in a number of ways. We can see it used of the physical elements of the universe, the physical elements. And so we can see that in 2 Peter. Peter's going to use it in this way. And so let's turn to 2 Peter. And so in 2 Peter 3:10, interesting context. I'm not going to be able to develop it completely here. But here you can see that the day of the Lord is more than just the tribulation period. But the day of the Lord, it refers to really a time of judgment from the Lord, direct judgment, which will begin in the tribulation period. But here you can see that future things do make a difference for the here and now. And here in God's word, we see, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, there's our word, the elements, shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works thereon that are therein shall be burned up. So here we see it translated the elements. It's the idea of the building blocks, if you will, the building blocks of the physical heavens. And so there's there's building blocks for physical matter. And he's here, Peter being born along by the Holy Spirit, uses this word that has the idea of the physical building blocks related to the universe. Now we're going to see it again. We'll just continue on down and we'll see it one more time in this context in verse 12. So let's continue reading in verse 11. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be, in or by all holy, not conversation, but manner of life, and godliness. And so Dale touched on godliness this morning. And that's a potential and a standard by which we should be aimed for and concerned about. In verse 12, though, we'll have our word again. It says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Now, we're going to see, we can just read in verse 13, we can see what the day of God refers to. Wherein the heavens, just on account of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements, here's our word again, the building blocks, shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And just where the quality and character of righteousness settles down and is at home. And so that ties to the day of God. And that can have an effect on how we look at things today and now. And Peter's using this revelation to encourage them. But here we see our word used of the physical building blocks or elements of the universe. This word is also used in regards to the Christian life of the building blocks of the oracles of God, is how it's translated. And so we're familiar with this because it's in Hebrews, and it seems like it was a while ago that Dave was in Hebrews 5, but it wasn't that long ago. But in Hebrews 5, we can see that, these Christians were off track concerning their present tense practice. And, that affected their relative maturity. And so here in Hebrews 5:12, we're going to see our word used. It says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the ABCs, the building blocks, in other words, of the oracles of God. And so the oracles, could translate this, the words, the sayings from God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. And so here we can see the first principles, the building blocks. We all start in the same place, having to learn the ABCs, the building blocks. Kind of, and it's in line. It's kind of step by step. And as we learn the building blocks, the ABCs, it begins to point us in a direction. It points us in a direction. It's like putting things in a series, in a line. It's going to move us in a direction. And God has a direction in mind for us, and that's a tease, because if you were here this morning for Sunday school, Dale was in the verse that I want to end in today, in Philippians 3. But So this is interesting to play, a place to see our word used of the first principles of the oracles of God. And let's just go on and see how they should have been teachers, but they had need that somebody teach them again these ABCs, these first steps in a line, if you will. And he says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. So he's untested. He's without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, it says. And so here it's our word for an inarticulate babbler. But solid food belongs to them that are of full age, are of mature ones, mature ones. Even those who by reason of use have their senses or their faculties of perception, is another way here to think of this. They have their faculties of perception exercised to discern both good and evil. Or just, I don't translate it bad here, good and bad. And so here by being carnal, these Hebrews could have been and should have been maturing to the point that they could teach the ABCs, but they had need to be taught. And then we see here that they're not having their faculties of perception exercised. They're stunted. They're stunted. They're napions here. But anyway, we're just here to illustrate. I can get tied into the context and want to preach the context, but our word here illustrated is you can see the first principles of the oracles of God, the ABCs, the first steps, if you will. And it would be the first steps in a line, kind of the idea, or in a row. There's a certain sequence to maturing, to growing. And as you take those steps and you grow, well, it's moving you in a direction, if you will. Well, here comes some of the subtleties of the world system. Because the world system, this word is used to describe the elementary principles of the building blocks of the world system. And so the elementary principles are the building blocks of the world system will lead you in a certain direction, in a certain path. They're going to set the groundwork, if you will, for taking the next step. And so let's go back to Colossians. And as I come back here, you know, the initial intent was to survey through some of these ideas before we get to the foundation of the world system and looking at some things in Genesis 4. And then coming back to some of these verses in the future. And I think I'll still do that, but so you're going to feel like, well, we've been here before when we come back at some point in the future through here. But in Colossians in chapter 2, and let me back up the context to 2:6. I want you to see just a little, even though I really just want to survey the context. It's hard for me not to grab a little bit more here, because you can see in the direction we as Christians should be pointed. And so in verse 6 in Colossians 2:6, here Paul says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So walking, ordering the details of your life in him, in your position in Christ. And now in verse 7, he says, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established by the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So there's some ABCs involved in that. There's some principles to the Christian life that are involved there. now he has a warning, if you will, in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you. And here our word spoil means to, is to carry off as booty after being robbed. And so, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Through philosophy. Through the fondness of wisdom, if you will. So-called wisdom. And empty deceit. It's interesting here. You could almost say, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy, even a vain deceit. The way that article works in the Greek, with the same case here, the philosophy, the vain deceit, measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world, the building blocks, the ABCs of the world. The world system has its own standards. And here's Paul is warning these Christians who should be aiming to walk in their position, to order their lives in their position. Here he's warning them to not be carried off as booty by the philosophy, even the vain or empty deceit, and measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world. And so here we see the rudiments of the world tied to a philosophy, a fondness of wisdom, that's an empty deceit. And he says, and not measured by Christ. So here we see it as offering a standard in contrast to Christ being the standard. So do you see that there? There's a lot of nuances right in there here that it's hard to pick them all up. Now, normally if I was surveying through here, I'd want to move on, but I can't resist because he's just mentioned Christ as a standard of measurement. And the philosophy and empty deceit measured by the tradition of men and measured by the elementary or the building blocks of the world system would be opposed to the standard of measurement of Christ, which is our standard of measurement if we're going to be aimed correctly in walking in Him. Now in verse 9, he's going to explain. And so I'm going to just grab this because in verse 9, it opens with a 4 in the English. I'm not sure what some translations do, but in the King James. But it's actually our word for because. Because in Him, where we should be walking, because in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead or deity bodily. And then he says in verse 10, and ye are made fullness in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, which would actually be the head of all rule and authority. The word for power there would be authority. And so I just want to pick that up. Now let's go and pick up some more things that they're going to tie to the building blocks of the world system that will have a tendency to line you up to move in a certain way, certain direction. And so, coming back to Christ, in verse 15, I'm just going to pick up a few things here. He says, and having spoiled, and here is our word in the plural, principalities and powers. That's our word for rulers and authorities. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Then he says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And so here he mentions these things, and he says in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So the body belongs to Christ. Going back to him being the standard of measurement in verse 8. And we being in him, we being made fullness in him. And so the body belongs to him. And so you see the contrast to these other things, which could be a standard of how to behave or how to go about your life. Now, let me move over to verse 20, because it's going to tie back into our position in Christ. And so we're going to see a few things about the basic building blocks of the world system. Now, first he's going to make mention of our position in Christ, and that it's in that position in Christ that we've been separated from the world system. And hopefully at a point in the future, we're going to go over that in a little more detail. It says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the building blocks, from the ABCs of the world system, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? And so kind of the idea, it's ordinances, a decree, a statute. It's interesting, this word that's translated, it's where the word dogma comes from. Why are you subject to its dogmas? It's suggested that this root comes from the word, the Greek word dokeo, which just literally means that which seems to be good, which is interesting. And so its dogmas, its ordinances, its decrees seem to be good, right? Why are you subject to them, though, he's saying? Touch not, taste not, handle not. So here you have a couple things here. You see, these prohibitions, to touch not, taste not, handle not. The building blocks of the world system, here, a couple things we can say. Is it encourages one to set themselves apart by what they're not doing. Set yourselves apart. That's a building block of the world system. Also, it encourages self-discipline. Self-discipline. The world system is a system that offers benefits here and now. More of those benefits are available to those that exercise self-discipline. Right? And so, touch not, taste not, handle not. But it's of little value. Of little value, and Paul's going to bring that out here. He says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. And so the world system will encourage you to exercise self-discipline, to set yourself apart. And it's going to do this, by the way, through certain works of the flesh. It's going to encourage you to do it through certain works of the flesh, to direct. Remember, it's the lust of the flesh. It's in the world system. It's going to appeal, direct, or encourage you to use the flesh to operate in certain manners. And so in one way, the world system, and this is where it was interesting what Dale was talking about this morning about self-control. Because the world system does encourage you to exercise self-control. That's one of the building blocks of it. But it's self-control in your own strength. Remember, that's all the law could do. That's all the building blocks of the world system can do, is encourage it in your own strength. Remember, the world system emphasizes what man can do. The boasting is in men. We'll see that when we'll look again at, not today maybe, but the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the world system relates to the boasting of men. And so what he says, now remember, we have self-control as an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. That's supernatural. That's not in our own strength. So the world system is going to line you up to have self-control, but it's going to be independent of God. Living in your position in Christ is going to line you up to have self-control as an aspect of the grace from God, as a part of the fruit from the Spirit. You could look at the building blocks of the world system and say, that's not a bad thing, is it? It encourages people to exercise self-control. Probably a great illustration of this could be used of drunkenness. Drunkenness. The world system would encourage you to use a 12-step program. And that 12-step program can have varying degrees of success. I would say when somebody uses the 12-step program from the world system, who gets the credit for that? Man, that's right along with the wisdom from the world system. What about the Christian? Well, drunkenness is just a work of the flesh. So when you walk by means of the Spirit, you can allow the Holy Spirit to be dealing with that work of the flesh. Who gets credit for that? God. God. We get credit indirectly for applying it, but it's the power of God. The power of God. The boasting is in the Lord. I see that's the difference. That's the difference of how the world system and the building blocks of the world system will set you up to act independently of God, but to behave in a certain way versus the grace from God in putting your position in Christ into practice. So in verse 23, Paul says, he says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Indeed, a show, a quality of a word, a repute, the interlinear says, a reputation of wisdom, of knowledge on how to act right, wisdom, right? There's a show of wisdom in King James says will worship, just self-imposed religion, and humility and neglecting of the body. So it has a reputation, a repute of wisdom in these things. But then he says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Let me retranslate that just a little so I think you can gather what he's saying. The word honor has the idea of value. Not in any value to the satisfying or the indulgence of the flesh. It may have some external value of wisdom, but it doesn't have any value to the indulgence of the flesh. The flesh is going to be operating. If you're operating on the building blocks of the world system, you're going to be operating independently of God. You're going to be operating using the flesh. The flesh is going to be what's ultimately manifested, even if you are exercising some self-control. You're showing what you can do. Well, I guess the boasting there can be in men. But as we understand grace and we understand the person and work of Jesus Christ, our boasting should be in him. Now, it's kind of funny where this chapter break is, because I think a lot of times we come here and we fail to grab the connection because of where this chapter breaks. And so I'm always excited when I remember to, you know, grab something like this, because it just gives it so much more punch. And we're going to pick up something in verse 2 about the building blocks of the world system. But in verse 1, he says, since you then be co-risen with Christ. So since that's a fact, that you have a position in Christ, you're made fullness in him, going back to the previous context, the body belongs to Christ. That's the standard of measurement that we don't want to get off. Since we be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your frame of mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And so now this is where this last part of this clause has a lot more meaning when you understand it in its full context. Not on things on the earth. The world system and the building blocks of the world system will focus you on the here and the now and on the things of the earth, and not on your position in Christ. And so we need to think about that when we start laying down the building blocks of what we're going to be doing, is what building blocks are we using? Are we using the building blocks, the ABCs of the world system that's going to set up in a series, in a row, for you to be aimed in a certain direction? Or are you going to use the ABCs, the building blocks of the grace of God that's going to set you up to live in your position in Christ? And so here we can see those building blocks affect where your frame of mind are going to be. So anyway, a lot of little interesting things here. I took too much time for just that context. I want to grab another context, and I don't know if I have time.
You do.
Don says I do. Well, I must then. But it's interesting when you think about the Jews and the world system. The Jews were promised blessings in time as they kept the law. So they had an interesting relationship to the world system. In some ways, they were reliant upon the world system as they would experience the blessings, the physical blessings in time. And so one of the things Paul does in Galatians is he makes reference to them being held in bondage under the building blocks or the elementary principles of the world system prior to the cross work. And so let's go back to Galatians in chapter 4. And this is a very important chapter when we start considering sonship. And so as Christians, we are all sons, and so we have a position of privilege, and with that privilege becomes access to benefits and being able to utilize those benefits. And so let me just pick up in chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is an infant, he differs nothing from a slave, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors, the idea here of guardians and stewards, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we. Now when Paul says we here, he's considering himself, he's including himself as Jews. He's looking at Jews by context. So even so we, when we were infants, were in bondage under the elements of the world system. And so the world system has its building blocks. It has its own drumbeat of how you should behave. It depends upon where you are and when as to what the standards are. The standards change. But here we see that he's talking about the Jews were in a state of being held in bondage under the building blocks of the world system. Now we're going to see that they're no longer slaves because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, the God sent forth his son, come to be out from a woman, come to be under the law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive some placement. Some placement. Now remember, we're all sons. You can see that for as many of you as been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. But I guess I wanted the verse before that in Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So here he's talking about the Jews in particular in chapter 4. And he says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit from his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that's important. What he's saying here is a son has the indwelling Holy Spirit. As Jews, they're no longer slaves under the building blocks of the world system. They're no longer under law as a way to conduct their lives. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. And he says, wherefore, you are no more a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Through Christ. He says, howbeit, when you knew not God, you did not service unto them. You did service, excuse me. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. And now, after you have experientially known God, or rather experientially known by God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? It's interesting here. He refers to the elementary principles, the building blocks, as weak and beggarly. The word weak just literally means without strength. The beggarly just literally means poor, of little value. Of little value. They couldn't grow under the weak and of little value building blocks of the world system or the law. That was based upon self-effort. Self-effort. He says, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, the King James says, just to serve as a slave. You desire again to serve as a slave. And so here we see some of these things tied in, but, you know, the weak and beggarly elements, the weak and of no value building blocks. So there's deception involved in this world system because it gives the illusion of being of some strength and of some value. But in reality, it is of little strength and of little value in the big picture. And so that's what Paul's expressing here as that ties. And so let me swing around here and try and wrap this up. The world system, the satanic system, it has its own building blocks or elementary principles. And those building blocks, they line people up to walk in a certain manner that's based upon its standards and its wisdom of really of how someone should behave. And it's it gives the illusion that there's strength and value in these standards, but it's an empty deception. It's an empty deception. And it's especially deceptive to a Christian because you can think you're okay. You're walking along according to a standard and you're doing okay. It's got you lined up and the direction it's pointing seems to be okay. There's nothing wrong with self-discipline. There's nothing wrong with some of these things, self-control. But you're selling yourself short if the self-control is in your own strength, which is what the world system is going to encourage, especially when you have access to supernatural self-control from the Holy Spirit. And so we've seen a few things as we've passed through some of these contexts, but the Christian, based upon the work of Christ, has been separated from the world system. We're no longer in a position to be enslaved to it or to take our marching orders from it. We have something better, and positionally we've been completely separated from it. And we now possess the potential to stay in line, if you will, according to a standard from God. Not from the world system, not from the tradition of men. And so when I think about just briefly looking at a standard from God, let's go to Galatians 5:25. He says, "And since we live by the Spirit, let us also," King James says, "walk." It's our word that comes from the root of our word, elementary principle, from the root a row, a series. It just literally, let us also step by the Spirit. Let us keep in step. Let us keep in line is kind of the idea. World system is going to try and keep you in line. It's going to point you in a different direction. Here Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. That's a potential and a standard from God. Now we're going to just finish up here, and I'm going to bring this over to where Dale was this morning in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3:14, and so I tried to lay out a few things here with our word stoikaion, which has the idea of an upright post, the first beginning in a series. And the world system has its first beginning in a series of a line. And it's going to be contrary to the building blocks for the Christian life. And so here we can see Paul, in a way, he's looking down the line. If you're building a fence and you set the first couple posts and you want that fence to be straight, you better make sure that those first few posts are placed right. And then you can use those posts to look down that line. And in a sense, Paul's doing that. He's looking down the line at where these steps are going. And so he says in Philippians 3:14, he says, "I press towards a mark for the prize." What is the prize? What is the mark? It's the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 15, let us therefore as many be mature. King James says perfect. It's a word for mature. Paul's including himself here. You can see he's counting himself as relatively mature, yet he hasn't attained. He says, let us therefore as many be mature, be thus minded. And it's reflectively minded. See, the world system is going to direct your frame of mind on things here on the earth. Here he says, let us be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise reflectively minded, God shall reveal it even unto you. Nevertheless, where we have already attained, wherever we are in this journey, he says, let us, and here's our word for step, to step in line. Not walk, it's to step in line, stoicheo. Let us keep in line, let us step. By the same rule, let us reflectively think the same thing. And so we're going to end here. Our frame of mind, and Dale's been touching on this, but it sets the groundwork for us to be aimed in the right direction. The world system is going to offer up an alternative. It's going to line you up, it's going to line up a person towards its aim. The world system has a ruler, he's got a purpose, it's contrary to God. And if you follow the building blocks of the world system, you will end up lined up in a direction. But it ultimately lines you up to walk and move independently of God. And so, again, there's some of the nuances of how it can be a subtle enemy and one that you may not recognize. As we allow ourselves to accept its standards and its definitions of what's good, what's right, we can allow ourselves to be in a position where we're no longer using God's standard. And so we'll close there. Father, we do thank thee for the day. We're thankful for your word, and we're grateful for the provisions of grace, and we're thankful for the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we think about our position in him and the fact that we're made fullness in him and the potential that we have to live a life that is glorifying to you, that's an honor. And we thank you for that privilege in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.